possibly the two biggest blockbusters of the year, so big that we had to split this week's podcast into two parts. We'll discuss Salman Khan and Bajrangi Bhaijaan in part 2, but part 1 is all about Bahubali, the South Indian epic that has been breaking barriers and box office records throughout the country and indeed the world. We discuss what makes it so special and whether this represents a coming-of-age moment for South Indian cinema and indeed just Indian cinema in general. All of that and more on part 1 of this week's Bollywood Weekly. Welcome everyone to this week's episode of Bollywood Weekly. We have a lot of things to get through this week and not a lot of time, so let's get right into it. So the first thing we're going to discuss is Bahubali, and I have with me my good friend and South Indian film expert, Mr. Harshad.
Hi guys.
Harshad, thanks for being here, and thanks for agreeing to watch Bahubali with me, because you were the only person I managed to convince.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you know.
I heard great things about it.
That's the only reason I asked you to come. It's not like I enjoy your company or anything like that. But anyway, before we actually start talking about the movie, let's just address the response and what a phenomenon Bahubali has become. So my mom, as moms tend to do, sent me a WhatsApp chain message this morning with a bunch of facts about Bahubali. So I'm going to read some of them out to you. So some of them are quite impressive.
Go ahead.
So this movie, as most people know by now, is the most expensive movie ever made in India. It's 250 crores, the budget, but 250 crores is actually for both parts. So what we just saw was Bahubali part 1. There's going to be part 2 next year. The movie pre-production took 1 year, which is the highest time ever. And actually, this movie has been in the works for ages, because even in 2009, there were articles about, you know, this project and how it's going to be very expensive and there's going to be crazy special effects. Speaking of which, the cost of the VFX alone was 85 crores. And it's the same team that did Jurassic World that also did the VFX of this movie. And I think it very clearly shows. They took 109 days to film a waterfall. So if for those of you who haven't seen the movie, when you do, you'll notice that there is this one big waterfall which forms a significant part of the set for the first hour or so of the movie. Yeah. And it took 109 days to kind of film that and get it exactly right. So now we get into the facts that I don't know if are true or not. But apparently Prabhas, who's the lead actor, spent 1.5 crores on gym equipment only.
Well, it definitely shows.
Maybe if I had that kind of money, I would be in shape. But anyway, if gym equipment is so expensive, what can you do? You can't expect me to exercise and spend this much money on gyms and stuff. Anyway. And it currently has a 9.4 rating on IMDb, which I believe is the highest ever for an Indian film, which is quite impressive. Of course, despite being the most expensive movie of all time, it has already more than made up most of its value. It's been shattering box office records everywhere. The last time I checked, it's already at about 225 crores in India for all three versions combined. So it was released in Telugu and Tamil. It was filmed in actually both Telugu and Tamil. And released in Hindi as a dubbed version. And so it's 220 crores in India, 270 if you include overseas. And the Hindi version itself has made above 50 crores, which makes it the seventh most successful film, Hindi language film, in 2015.
Wow, and so it's not even a Hindi language
film. It's not even a Hindi language film. It's a dubbed film, but it's just doing phenomenally well. So of course, you know, numbers are one part of the story. Let's actually get into the movie itself.
Right.
So what did you think of the movie?
First off, I thought it was quite outstanding. Some good acting, but as a plot, it was very new. A lot of action scenes and, you know, fighting scenes and sequences, which I had never seen. You know, we watched it in Tamil, so I'd never seen something like that in a Tamil movie before. It was almost on par or even better with 300. So that was extraordinary for me to watch. And only downside was it was just slightly long. Yeah, great movie. The 9.6 rating on IMDb, I personally agree with.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm typically not someone who's really into, you know, action movies, or, you know, even movies like 300, which you mentioned, which is widely considered as a very iconic, epic action film in Hollywood. I watched it, I enjoyed it, but it's whatever for me. I couldn't still help but admire this, maybe because it's an Indian film and maybe. It's just so different. The visuals are really stunning. And when you get into the battle sequences, and even when the movie was starting, you know, before any characters are even come up on screen, the intro is just this very massive, grand setting of this waterfall and of these various things. And it kind of just had some sort of aura or vibe about it. Yeah,
it's quite mythical also, the atmosphere and the setting that was presented in the first few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it just sets the tone for the rest of the movie. And I think the action sequences are also extremely well directed. There are a few moments where it seems a bit, you know, okay, this is a bit over the top. But on the whole, for the most part, it was extremely, extremely impressive, definitely. I thought. Apart from the action, the story is also quite engaging. Like, you're always curious about what's happening and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The acting, I thought, was generally good. It's hard for me to judge because it was in a different language and I'm watching subtitles.
Right.
But acting was quite good. My favorite character in the movie was actually Tamanna, who I thought was very... It was a very underwritten part, and because...
Yeah, she was my favorite as well. Just, you know... Yeah.
Possibly for different reasons, no, but she looked stunning. And her character, and actually all the female characters in this film are very kind of strong, badass, independent characters who just will do what they feel like, do things on their own terms. We've talked about the issue of the role of women in Bollywood various times on this podcast, and I thought that was something that very immediately struck me. Especially, you know, the first scene where we properly get introduced to Tamanna's character, she's
quite intimidating, actually.
Yeah, she's extremely,
extremely intimidating.
And again, as someone who doesn't watch a lot of South Indian movies, I've only seen her in the kind of limited Bollywood roles that she's done, where she's very much more of
that pretty girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, she's very much a warrior. Which I thought was quite quite exciting.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. She's independent. She's intimidating, and she plays it very well. You know, from the movies that I have seen, mostly in Tamil, that you know, where she is the typical heroine, you know, really beauty princess sort of thing, sort of role. But this one, she has turned over a new leaf. It's almost a new side of her that I'm seeing, and. For her to put a different step forward in terms and stepping up, you know, her notch in terms of acting, as well as giving this awesome presence when she's on screen, which she didn't get, or which I didn't feel she got in previous movies where she's playing like this, you know, this typical, stereotypical heroine character. But for this one, you know, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, I just wish that we actually got to see more of her in this role, because she... In the second half of the movie, I mean, her character is basically not there, and it's more about the two leading men. But hopefully, hopefully we will see more of her in the second movie, which I'm quite excited for. Speaking of the second movie, I thought we had very mixed feelings at the end, because it ends right on a cliffhanger, and there's a huge twist at the end.
Slightly abruptly, I felt, but you know, definitely a cliffhanger, that's right.
Yeah, so, and that was completely unexpected, because even in terms of the story, until then, you felt like everything was, you could guess more or less what was going to happen, and it was fairly predictable, but it was just still engaging because of the characters and because of the visuals. Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden, this twist came at the end, and I'm like, oh, whoa.
And before you knew it, it's credits, like, oh, damn, like, when am I going to see that part?
Yeah, and I mean, that twist alone probably now makes me really eager and excited to see what part 2 is going to be, because I really want to know what happened.
I actually had no idea that there was a part 2 when I went for the movie itself, okay. So it was a complete surprise. I was shocked. I was like, hey, you can't do this to me.
That makes a lot more sense now. No wonder when the end came, you were like, what? What's going on? But yeah, I thought that was good. Yeah, overall, I was quite pleasantly surprised. I didn't really know what to expect going in, but I came out thinking, wow, this was a really good movie. Now, in terms of we've talked about the numbers and how it's been fantastic. The other aspect of the reaction this has triggered is this kind of debate / rivalry over Bollywood versus South Indian films.
Oh.
And because Bahubali has done so well, and I think because the action sequences are shot so well and the visuals are so good, a lot of South Indian movie fans are holding this up as kind of a gold standard and almost saying to Bollywood, like, hey, this is what you guys should be doing. This is what the standard is. This is what you need to be doing to be able to compete with Hollywood, essentially. And we discussed this as well on a previous episode, where we talked about why certain action films in Hollywood have such a big fan following and are given so much fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when Bollywood tries to do the same, it's kind of laughed off. And part of it is because, you know, the execution is probably not up there.
Right.
Whereas over here it is. But even aside from action films, it's an interesting kind of debate to have, because especially outside India, the perception of Indian film is Bollywood. And the notion is that everyone in India watches and listens to Bollywood.
That's right.
Which is, of course, not true, because in South India you have Tamil film industry, which has been thriving for many years.
Mm.
Telugu film industry, which is now doing very well. Malayalam film industry as well, which has a lot of successful movies over the years. And, of course, everyone knows Rajinikanth, but there are also other South Indian actors like Mohanlal and Mammootty who have their own fan following. Which leads me to the question of, you know, do you feel that South Indian movies are not necessarily given enough credit? Especially to add in another element, considering that most Hindi movies, one in three Hindi movies, it feels like, is a South Indian remake anyway.
Well, yeah, in recent times, I have noticed that a lot of the Hindi movies are a remake of some Tamil hits. But before, back in, like, you know, the 90s and stuff, I definitely, Bollywood was the gold standard versus maybe what was being shown in the Tamil cinema, for example, just taking Tamil as the example. But nowadays, I feel, yeah, definitely, I think maybe Tamil is definitely going in a great direction, getting a foot in the door and becoming a bit more mainstream, at least into, maybe not global thought as yet, but definitely, like, you know, people will know who is a Surya, who is a, you know, people already know who's a Rajinikanth, but maybe who's a Kamal Haasan, who's a Dhanush, for example. He's come into Ranjana, and he did Shamitab as well.
Yeah.
And he's like Chennai born bred. So, like, so it's a big deal for Tamil cinema as well that a local actor has gone and stepped into Bollywood and he's become successful as well. So that's sort of...
But so that's part of my question. Why is it seen as that Bollywood, getting into Bollywood is what defines your success? Because even if you look at in the 90s especially, it was quite customary for actresses to start off as leading ladies in South Indian films. Aishwarya Rai, for example, did Tamil movies before she made it big into Bollywood.
Right.
But you don't seem to get that kind of acceptance or this feeling that you've made it big until you hit Bollywood. And one, do you think that is fair? And two, do you think that will change?
I think that's already changed, I think. Maybe back then it was like a factor to judge one's success. Like, oh, once I hit Bollywood, then I've made it. Maybe back then, maybe like 15 years ago. But nowadays, I think with the caliber of actors as well, in both Bollywood and in Kollywood and, you know, in the Malayalam theatre industry as well, I don't think it's like that anymore. I think it's definitely progressed in the right direction.
Yeah, and I mean, I always find it interesting whenever, because, I mean, I'm also South Indian, although I've never lived in South India, and I don't really watch or follow the South Indian movie scene as much.
Uh-huh.
But every so often, you hear of a movie which is a remake of a Tamil and or Malayalam film. Without any question, every time... Actually, I'm going to test this theory before I tell you what the theory is. So, have you watched any Tamil films which were then remade into Hindi, and you've seen both versions?
Yeah, I watched... Singham, definitely.
Okay, so you watched Singham, which is the Tamil one, and then you watched Singham with Ajay Devgan.
Which Ajay Devgan gave. Okay. His name is Ajay Devgan, yeah.
Okay, and which one was better?
Even if I was like an Englishman, I would say it's the Tamil version.
Okay, why?
It's just, I just thought the acting was better. And like, as a cop, like, Surya just fit that role perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
For me, personally. So yeah, I would say that one, for that one, that was definitely Tamil.
Okay, and have you seen Ghajini?
Ghajini, Aamir Khan, I haven't seen.
But you've seen the Tamil one?
I've seen the Tamil one. But again, that's Surya. I'm a big fan of Surya, so I may be slightly biased. But, you know, I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, and I mean, so getting to what my theory is, when I speak to people who watch South Indian movies and then watch their Hindi versions, I've heard it for Ghajini, I've heard it for Bhool Bhulaiya. Everyone, hands down, says that the original Tamil or Malayalam version was much, much better. And one of the other accusations aimed at Bollywood is that there's this lack of originality and everything is always copied or remade either from the South or either from Hollywood. But it seems like the South keeps churning out these hits which are deemed to be good enough to then be remade into Bollywood.
Right.
And so it's not something I really thought about until I saw the response to this movie. But it's an interesting, you know, debate to have of, you know, maybe South Indian movies are the new gold standard as opposed to Bollywood.
That's up for debate. That's up to one's own opinion. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's very debatable.
Speaking of South remakes, while I have you here, there is another South remake releasing in a couple of weeks, Drishyam, also with Ajay Devgan.
Right.
That we discussed it on last week's podcast. And you, correct me if I'm wrong, just saw the Tamil version.
Yeah, Papanasam, which is a remake of
the Malayalam
version called Drishyam.
Right.
Mohanlal.
Okay, and what did you think, without going into any comparisons, but just so...
Right, so I haven't watched the Malayalam version,
yeah.
So I went with a clean slate. A lot of people...
Yeah, yeah. But just so we know what to expect when we see the Hindi version, what did you think of the Tamil version?
Oh, gripping. Very gripping. It's a thriller, it's a murder mystery, and it's gripping. It's edge of your seat stuff.
Okay, that's good. So last week on the episode we discussed thrillers and how in Indian cinema thrillers aren't really that big of a thing.
Right.
But how this movie, the trailer looks awesome and how it looks like it could potentially be one of the kind of defining movies for the thriller genre in India. Going back to Bahubali, do we have any other thoughts? We diverged a little bit there.
Any other thoughts? You covered the graphics, we covered the length, we covered Tamanna.
You want to uncover Tamanna, but that's a different issue.
Whoa. And then
I didn't think the music of Bahubali was that great.
Really
noticeable. And in
there was definitely some unnecessary, maybe a song here and there, or maybe like a love sequence here and there. I don't want to give too much away, but
yeah, the songs I think didn't really add much and could have been used to cut down the length of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Without going into details, the scene where Prabhas and Tamanna kind of meet for the first time and get together is a bit strange because, as I mentioned earlier, everything else in the movie is really perpetuating this idea of strong female characters and queens and warriors.
That just goes
and
down
then
the drain for like
that,
5 minutes.
For that one scene, it's just completely tilted on his head. And you're just like, okay, this was not really required. if you let that slide, but yeah, it would have been nice if things like that had been kind of cut down and removed from the story. The other thing that was weird, which at least I found weird, is that... So the story, again, without wanting to give spoilers, the story happens, or different parts of the story happen in two separate timelines. One is quote-unquote present day, although everything is set at some unspecified time in the past. One storyline is happening in present day with Prabhas and Rana Dagubatti. And then the other storyline happens 50 years previously with both of their fathers, who are also played by Prabhas and Rana Dagubatti. And somehow they don't do a very clear job, or maybe, I don't know if it's me because I don't speak
I
the language.
I got lost as well.
Yeah, so they don't really explain the fact that they're moving back in time and we're now talking about a completely different set of people. And so we were very confused for 5 minutes being like, wait, but didn't this just happen? And how did he come here now and what's going on? But yeah, so that's just a warning for you guys if you decide to watch the movie. That there are two actually separate timelines that happen during the space of this movie. But yeah, overall, definitely recommend Bahubali as a movie you should watch.
Oh, yeah.
If for nothing but the visuals, and don't wait for it to come on TV unless you have a really amazing home theater system with surround sound at home. It's really an experience. Watch it in 3D if you can. Yeah, and it's, I think it, we didn't watch it in 3D, but I think it would be worth it to watch it in 3D as well. Definitely in a movie theater. And I think, yeah, it was a refreshing change. And hopefully, you know, a lot of many folks in Bollywood have come out in support of this movie and saying how great this movie was. And while I don't think, you know, in terms of plot or story, it's anything that different or out of the way, but the cinematography and the way it's filmed and the amount of effort and attention to detail that went into all of these different things, whether it's filming a waterfall for 109 days or whatever else. I'm not suggesting everyone should start doing that, but just the effort of having a vision and knowing exactly what you want to create and then doing whatever it takes to make it, which I think is what essentially filmmaking is all about or should be all about, as opposed to just putting out something that you know will make money because of its star power or because of anything else. So
it's,
I hope
it's a breath of fresh air, you know, like especially if you watch, you know, whatever, if I watched, let's say, Singham or something yesterday and I'm watching this today, it's completely different. It's just new almost.
Yeah, miles apart. I'm not saying that every movie should have tons and tons of visual effects and special effects and or should be made on super expensive budgets, but I hope this idea of having a vision and the kind of story you want to tell and then focusing on that rather than focusing on what do I need to do to make this sell or to make it successful. I hope that's a kind of sentiment that people take out of this. And that brings us to the end of part one of this week's podcast. Hash, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you very much.
And I hope you will be back for future podcasts where we talk about more South Indian movies.
Definitely, if the audience requires an opinionated South Indian movie goer, I'm more than happy.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. Thanks, everyone, for listening. That was part one of this week's episode on Bollywood Weekly. Part two will be out tomorrow, where we discuss Salman Khan, Bajrangi Bhaijaan, as well as other new trailers and news in Bollywood over the past week and a half. You can find that on our regular channels, which is our website, ticproductionsindia.com/bollywood-weekly, our SoundCloud channel, TIC Productions, as well as Bollywood Weekly on the podcast app on iOS. Also, do follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get regular updates, and subscribe to the podcast to check out all our previous episodes and future upcoming episodes as well.